Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Amy Loboda, editor of Aviation for Women magazine and FAST Team representative Fort Myers, Florida, who is today's host.
Hello, everyone. This is Amy Loboda reporting from Fort Myers, Florida, and my guest today is Jim Alsip, Master CFI with an aerobatic endorsement. He's from Indiantown Airport in Indiantown, Florida, and that, you tell me, is known as the longest grass runway in the United States. Is that right, Jim?
That is a fact.
All right.
300 feet of grass.
Wow. Jim is here with us today to talk about his emergency maneuvers training course, which he runs out of Dillon Aviation in Indiantown Airport. So, Jim, tell me, what is the key reason that you have an emergency maneuvers training course? What does it do for people?
Well, the course is constructed to pull together all the aspects of my training. Over the years, as I've taught aerobatics and tailwheel endorsements, it's come to my opinion that generally the pilot population is woefully deficient in stick and rudder skills. And a lot of this we can learn by doing aerobatics. I used to promote tailwheel training as the way to learn to fly, the old-fashioned method, flying for fun, fly the plane, and use your sight picture, or seat of the pants is what they used to call it.
Sure.
To fly. And so I think in this emergency maneuvers course, it brings all those aspects together in a practical point of view. A lot of people don't like to do spins. They certainly takes a special breed to do aerobatics, although I don't understand that. I would think everybody would love aerobatics, but some of us don't. So anyway, the emergency makes it more practical. We talk about real life situations, real life emergencies.
Can you give us an example of some of the real-life emergencies that your course would address?
Well, I'll tell you a recent one. Two come to mind. Was it Corey Liddell? Is that how you pronounce his name? Was last year. He was in the Cirrus with his flight instructor over the East River in New York City.
Yes.
There was a lot of extending circumstances, but no matter how you explain it, he could not do a tight turn in his Cirrus. That's the bottom line. That's remarkable, but it doesn't surprise me. In my training with people, we don't know how to do tight turns. And the accident reports are full of situations where someone attempted a turn and the resulting accident resulted in fatalities.
That's a very good example. Another one that comes to mind for me is a stuck or damaged control surface.
That's exactly right. We hear that. In fact, in the last 3 years, I've heard locally here on the east coast of Florida, two issues where flaps have jammed. You get asymmetric flaps. One worked, one didn't. That's the kind of things that you need to be aware of and experience. What I tell people, and actually a lot of the things I say aren't necessarily unique to me or necessarily my idea. It's opinions held by almost every expert I know in the field of aviation and flight education. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that we say is that, you know, the biggest danger to a pilot is himself.
Sure.
We ask the question, what would you do? Would you do the right thing in an emergency? Well, you're going to react the way you train. Your habits are going to take over in an emergency. And unfortunately, that's where the deficiencies show up. And in Corey's case, that was obviously part of the problem.
Well, not just with Corey, but with the other person in the airplane who was ostensibly his instructor, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, incredible, isn't it? Also, you remember, I don't know, a couple years ago, a young teenage girl and her instructor were setting some kind of a record flying across the United States. Both of them perished in a takeoff accident. The plane was over gross, density altitude was excessive, and they got off the field, but they couldn't climb, lost control, and spun the airplane. Again, those are that is a specific spin scenario, but the facts of the case are what are instructive, and this is what we talk about in my emergency maneuvers course when we study stalls. We don't do, Governor Schwarzenegger would call them, I think it's okay to say, girly stalls. We don't do girly stalls, okay? We do aggressive stalls, real life stalls. We wrap the airplane up into a 45-degree bank and stall it into turn. We use the controls in such a method that, like typically would happen in an accident.
I call those aggravated stalls, by the way.
And they are aggravating, aren't they?
Yeah. That is true. That is absolutely true. And it's not that hard to wrap an airplane up like that. In fact, most of the inadvertent full stall spin situations I've found myself in as an instructor, situations my students have put me in, were either because of an issue with rudder control, aileron control, in terms of cross control, and flaps, coming off of full flaps into a situation where the airplane wraps up pretty quick.
Yes. Actually the last portion of one of the presentations I do, we analyze the factors of a stall, which are what you're talking about, and we look at a scenario where the plane almost stalls, well, literally inadvertently, and one of the situations come about because the airplane is unusually heavy. We're used to flying by ourselves with one person. Well, take a situation where there's four in an airplane. Maybe four guys flew down to the Keys, four high school buddies were at a reunion, and they're coming back. The plane is heavy relative to the pilot's experience. Hot August, July day in South Florida, density altitude isn't all that great. And what happens is, without thinking of the situation, he trims the airplane like he usually does, bops the flaps down like he does, and everything seems normal because the airplane is, quote, trimmed. What he hasn't realized is that with the conditions, he's lowered or actually raised the stall speed. And so what seems normal to him puts him critically close to the stall speed. And then we get into the classic cross control and the what I call the booby trap spin. And there you've got an accident from a guy who's done the exact same thing 1,000 times before that.
Sure. Jim, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with FAA's Managing Safety.
Now, let's rejoin Amy Lobota and Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Jim Alsip, Master CFI with an aerobatic endorsement from Indiantown Airport in Indiantown, Florida. Jim has a series of different specialty courses that he runs out of Indiantown Airport, which is known as the longest grass strip in the United States. And one of them we've been talking about is the emergency maneuver training course. But we've also talked a bit about stalls and spins as part of that. And Jim, what is the big difference between your stall and spin upset and unusual re attitude recovery course and your emergency maneuver training course?
First of all, the emergency maneuver course starts with turns
Ah.
because 75 85% of your fatal accidents involve loss of control, and almost every one of them involves a turn. That is scary.
Wow.
That ought to make every pilot stand up. Well, I say that again. In loss of control accidents, and that's the vast majority of them, with the exception of flying into IFR conditions, of course,
mm-hmm.
Involved in one of the criteria, one of the situations is a turn. That is so scary. So my emergency maneuvers begin with turns. And in the spin and upset course, let me back up. We proceed through all the different skills, and we end with spin and upset recovery.
Certainly.
In the spin and upset course, I'm very unusual. I emphasize immediate spin recognition.
Huh.
And most people don't know this. In fact, I didn't know it. I was a competitive aerobatic pilot. I did not know this. Nobody told me. Since then, I've asked other aerobatic pilots, I've asked CFIs, and I'm telling you right now, most people don't know or never thought about, if you recover from a spin immediately, in other words, you recognize it, you recover, Amy, you're inverted. You are upside down. The first half of a one-turn spin is inverted. So this makes for a fabulous training tool. Because what we do is we train to recognize spin entry.
Sure.
We recover immediately. We find ourselves inverted, which is an attitude very similar to an upset from wake turbulence. This is exactly what happens to you. So, boom, there you are. And then at that point in the training, we introduce top rudder, aileron, the same direction. And we actually have our students, we do this at altitude, but we can enter the spin, recover to the inverted, recover from the inverted, and we will do that well within 500 feet. So that proves that with spin and upset training, if you have an accident on that base to final turn that we've heard so much about, the right reaction can cause you to recover from it and add a little power and land as normal.
Wow.
Of course, if you got anybody in the airplane with you, they probably won't ever fly with you again.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's probably true. But it does give you a tremendous amount of confidence. Now let's do talk about these courses. These courses are really designed to be confidence builders, and you do these courses in some tough little airplanes, Super Cub, Super Decathlon. Tell me why you're such a big fan of these tailwheel airplanes.
The Super Cub, my God, if you know anything about aviation and bush pilots and history in Alaska, I mean, how can you not love the Super Cub? They're probably not that great an airplane, but what a reputation, okay? So you just got to love flying the Super Cub, okay? They're yellow, and they're just a fabulous, fabulous airplane. The Super Decathlon, which is my airplane, I think that's the greatest training airplane in the world when it comes to aerobatics and unusual maneuvers. It's fully aerobatic capable. And the problem I have with a lot of spin training or a lot of maneuver training that's done, say, a 152, is that to really learn these maneuvers, you have to make mistakes.
Sure.
And when you do that, you rapidly find yourself in an aerobatic attitude.
Yes.
So I just don't feel it's safe unless you're in a fully capable aerobatic airplane to do these kinds of things.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. Now, you even have as one of your courses for those who just get really excited about this tailwheel stuff, Pitts Transition. Is that correct?
Yes, we also offer that. I have a Pitts S2A that's available to me for training, along with the Super Cub. The Decathlon is the one that I own.
Mm-hmm.
But the Pitts is, I used to fly a Pitts a few years ago, and I just think that's the greatest airplane in the world. A Pitts S1, you're all by yourself in this little powerful machine, and it all the thrill and adventure that people sometimes assign to aviation, I think it's all there in doing aerobatics freestyle way up in the air above the clouds by yourself in a fifth S1. It's just fabulous.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Tell me, have you had anybody come back to you after doing one of your spin-up set training or emergency maneuvers course and say, hey, you saved my life, this happened to me?
Yeah, I had, he was actually a fellow from Switzerland, and he was training at a local flight school up here in Fort Pierce, and he took his CFI training with me, his spin training with me, and then he actually went on and took all my aerobatic course, too. And about a year later, he sent me a little email. He'd been with a student in a twin engine in the little, not the Bear and the Duchess, mm-hmm. the little Duchess twin engine airplane. And the student froze on the controls and it went into spin. And it, he said, just like we learned in flying with me, it was an easy recovery. And he said, P.S., by the way, the Duchess spins really good.
Yeah, some of those Beechcraft aircraft actually do spin pretty well. I have a little experience with that as well, and I can tell you that the other problem with the student that freezes on the controls is you pretty much have to talk them out of it. It's unlikely you're going to fight them out of that situation, so you better be real sure of exactly what you want them to do. And have some ice water running through your veins because you need to stay calm. If they're upset, you need to be calm in order to get their attention and get the airplane back in control again. And it's a very interesting situation. I can tell you that the emergency maneuvers training course I took back in the 1980s when we were just forming these courses was one of the best things that ever happened to me. And it has saved my life countless times. No question about it.
And I think that's the message that we need to, you know, send out to everyone who flies. If I could say one thing to every pilot, I would tell them, you have earned your license to pilot an airplane. Now learn to fly the thing.
There
I think
go.
There's a lot of truth to that.
There you go. Jim Alsip with Dillon Aviation. Jim, you want to tell us the best way for people to contact you?
Well, I would love for the people to visit my website. I'm proud of it, but a lot of people have told me that they've come to my flying school because of some of the things they saw on my website. It seemed to connect with them. I have a blog that I post new thoughts each month, and I try to make them, I don't want to use the word controversial. My style is to question and to challenge.
Excellent.
So I like to make comments in the blog, and when you take my courses and fly with me, it's the same thing. Why are you doing something? So anyway, check out my blog. My website is www.dylanaviation, that's D-Y-L-A-N, aviation.com.
Mm-hmm.
Check out my blog, and I think there's lots of thoughtful things, and that's, I think, the secret to safe flying is not to fly by rote. I tell people flying is not like dancing. It's not 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. It's doing the right thing at the right time to stay in control or command of the airplane. I call it PIC, pilot in control.
Mm-hmm.
And you might, in fact, your listeners might have do it too, if you don't mind me quoting Rod Mercado. This is so insightful. He replied to a student who had a little bit of a trouble on a crosswind landing, and this was in his Since You Asked Me column in training Flight Training Magazine.
Sure.
And Rod says, it seems to me that you weren't flying your airplane as much as you were being flown by it.
There you go.
Now, Amy, I know you have got the same thought the thousands of times you've flown with students or just other pilots, and they just seem to be sitting there and they react to the airplane instead of commanding the airplane.
Absolutely. Absolutely true. You have to be the pilot in command. You have to be in front of the airplane in time by a good minute or so, thinking about what's going to happen next and how you're going to respond to it. No question at all. Jim, thank you so much for taking the time today to be a part of FAA's Managing Safety.
Hey, Amy. Thank you.
If you want to know more about Jim Alsup and his Emergency Maneuvers Training Course and Spin Upset and Unusual Attitude Recovery courses, go to www.dillonaviation.com. Have a wonderful day.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.